Coming up on show 590, that Tesla million-mile battery story's back in the news, UK offshore wind gets cheaper, and a legendary designer moves into electric cars. Those stories and many more coming up on the show today. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Heck, wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your edition for Tuesday, 24th of September. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story that I can possibly hunt down on the internet and whittle it down to 15 minutes of you and I chatting away on the podcast to save you time. This is what you need to know. Thank you to MyEV.com for helping me make this show. It was well over a year ago that we first heard of MyEV.com. On to version 2 of the website already. Check it out if you haven't yet. MyEV.com if you're in the USA and you are all about finding a buyer for your EV, or maybe doing a bit of window shopping sometime, maybe while you're at work, you know, on the boss's time. Have a look, MyEV.com. See what it's all about. Find yourself your dream EV. Well, this story is back in the news, and I think I know why. New research into EV batteries a couple of weeks ago started talking about million-mile cars from Gizmodo, one of the many publications that seem to all run with this story today. It's kind of new-old slash old-new. It's all about electric cars and working out how long batteries will last. The power cells used in EVs, like Teslas, say Gizmodo, have about 300,000 to 500,000 miles of a lifespan, but a team of battery researchers believes it's come up with a recipe that can double that, leading to batteries that could potentially outlast the car itself. In a paper published by the Journal of Electrochemical Society earlier this month, the battery research team described a new lithium-ion battery that could potentially power an EV for a million miles and 4,000 charging cycles while only losing 10% of its capacity, says Gizmodo. Like I say, why is this back in the news? Because you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This was the Tesla team with Jeff Dahn and his research team developing new chemistry. And I think it all traces back to a Wired story, which is a few hours old now. But again, the Wired story seems to have come. There was nothing in the last couple of weeks. Then Wired did their article. And a lot of other tech websites and blogs ran with this story of the million-mile EV. I even saw it crop up on the BBC's newsfeed as well. So maybe they picked it up from this. It was weird how it all came a couple of weeks ago and then disappeared. And then back in the news cycle today. It was a Wired article that I could find, which, I don't know, maybe it kicked it all off again, which maybe added some new details as well. Let's check it out. And full details of the battery cells, including the electrode compositions, the electrode loadings, electrolyte compositions, and the additives used, were all detailed in this report. Well, Dahn and his colleagues wrote in the paper, this has been done so that others can recreate these cells and use them as benchmarks for their own R&D efforts, according to a former member of Dahn's team. The likely answer is that Tesla already has at least one proprietary battery chemistry that outperforms what is described in the benchmark paper. And this is what I posited on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. If Tesla were going public with this very, very detailed R&D paper if you didn't think that Tesla had anything better, it's like them giving away the crown jewels. It was the answer to this is how to make an amazing cell for an EV battery. Why would they do that? Well, it could be to advance, to set a new benchmark, to advance everybody else, to raise the tide. You know, a rising tide floats all boats. But at the time I did say, this has got to be because Tesla know that this it's not the latest thing they're working on. Of course, you've got the Maxwell Technologies acquisition to bear in mind as well. So, shortly after the paper came out, Tesla did indeed receive a patent for a lithium-ion battery that is very, very similar to the one described in the research paper. Well, Dahn declined to be interviewed or declined to make comment for the Wired article, is listed as one of the inventors on this new patent that was issued to Tesla. The patented battery includes an electrolyte additive called ODTO, and it claims it can enhance performance and lifetime of lithium-ion batteries whilst reducing the costs. It's not certain the battery described in the patent is exactly the million-mile battery that Elon Musk said would enter production, and neither Tesla nor Jeff Dahn are doing any talking since that paper was published, but it's a safe bet that the tech Tesla is working on, the things that they need to make the semi-truck, a reality to make a 200 kilowatt hour pack in the Tesla Roadster, which we think is 2021, maybe even what's going to be going into the plaid powertrain Tesla Model S, then the X, then the Roadster. Maybe this is the technology that they are working on that we don't yet know about. Okay, let's move on to a story that filled my timeline on Twitter, and that is just probably more of an indication that I follow lots of people in the renewable energy sector here in the UK. The latest UK renewable energy auction awarded 12 projects, including 5.5 gigawatts of offshore wind at record low prices of £39 per megawatt hour. That's about $50 per megawatt hour. If I do it in kilowatt hour, because that is something that you and I relate to, because we pay our electricity bills in kilowatt hour, that is 3.9 pence per kilowatt hour and $0.05 per kilowatt hour. According to Clean Technica, the United Kingdom's Department of Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy, BEIS, announced 12 new renewable energy projects as recipients of the latest Contracts for Difference, they call them. It's an auction scheme, and it provides, in this round, 6 gigawatts of new capacity to the grid, generating enough power for 7 million homes, a result, and about 8,000 jobs in the country. Giles Dixon is the CEO of the European Wind Energy trade body, which is called Wind Europe. And he said this, and I quote, "Offshore wind is now the second cheapest form of new power generation in Northwest Europe, behind onshore wind. The technology continues to develop, the supply chain continues to evolve, and it's delivering huge volumes. This UK auction at 6 gigawatts is the world's largest ever wind energy auction." I'll pop a link to Clean Technica in the show notes if you want to read more. It's a fascinating thing to think about. The cars that we drive will be powered in the future, we know, by clean, green, renewable energy. And we need a mix on the grid, because generally when it's not so sunny here in this country, and don't we know it because the weather has just turned today, it's been a pretty terrible Tuesday across the UK, thunderstorms and heavy rain. We know that when the sun don't shine, the wind do blow. And this country is the windiest country in Europe. We have all the wind. We've been greedy with it in this country. We have got as much wind as we could possibly use if only we'd started this a while ago. However, the progress with wind energy is happening at quite a pace. I would love to see more onshore wind, but, you know, that is a contentious subject because lots of people don't want to look at them in their backyard or when they're driving around. So the solution, not to lose any votes if you're a politician, is to deny anybody applications for onshore wind, but let them put them offshore where nobody can see them. And yes, I'm being slightly flippant. There are some benefits to offshore wind because the land has a dragging effect, if you like. So there are pros and cons, but it's much cheaper to do onshore wind. Personally, I don't mind a big wind turbine in my back garden, but it's politically easier to put them offshore. And look, even if you've got to go to all the expense of sinking these massive piles into the seabed and all the ships and the infrastructure required for offshore wind, they're still doing it at a price which is just unbelievably low, and that's how we'll be charging our electric cars in the future. Brilliant news. Well, that's how we'll charge them, but who will be designing them? Certainly somebody who is going to be designing some EV race cars is a legendary designer. Extreme E is a new all-electric SUV racing series, and they've been drawing some pretty big names lately ahead of its first season in 2021. Now we can add legendary Formula One designer Adrian Newey to the impressive list of people involved in Extreme E. Says Jalopnik, Newey is one of the most successful and innovative designers in F1's history. McLaren, Williams, Red Bull. His CV is stellar. Newey managed to create some absurdly visionary machines, and now he's turning his talents to electric cars and Extreme E, which will take electric SUVs to some of the most extreme parts of the world and race on electric power. He's going to be the lead designer of the Veloce team, V-E-L-O-C-E. I think you say it. Veloce. They will be headed by two-time Formula E champion Jean-Éric Vergne and Harrison Newey. Yes, he is a relation, Adrian's son. When's the last time you remember a racing series popping up out of nowhere, attracting the world's biggest talents? Well, if you're racing on electric power, it can be done. Well, months after launching its supercharger V3, we haven't exactly seen many next-generation stations opening up from Tesla, but now we do have confirmation that Tesla is bringing a supercharger V3 to Florida, writes Fred at Electrek. After unveiling the new supercharger V3 6 months ago, well, they only opened two partial stations with the latest charging technology and one fully-fledged supercharger and some solar and storage in Vegas. It's been somewhat slow to roll out supercharger V3, but we are now hearing of a new supercharging station. It's going to be in Clearwater, Florida, and they're going to have V3 chargers at the location. The new charge rate combined with advanced software means that if you program a supercharging station into your Tesla sat-nav, and so the battery is perfectly conditioned by the time you turn up, you can indeed charge at 1,000 miles an hour. Oh, wow, amazing. And it would be amazing if they could speed up the rollout of supercharger V3, but I can't begin to imagine how mind-bogglingly complex putting in all of that network is. And so, what's an idiot on a podcast doing criticizing the pace of the rollout? Good luck to everyone in the charging team at Tesla. Hopefully the first of many more soon. Well, the successful partnership between Alexander Dennis, they make buses, and BYD, they make buses, here in the UK has resulted in more than 400 electric buses delivered since 2015. I love a good electric bus just because, you know, people ride on them and they're quiet and they don't smell and people think, oh, this is electric, you know. I love commercial vehicles as well, and like taxis, because they touch so many people. Do you know what I mean? They're really good for the perception of EVs. Now, according to Inside EVs, BYD and Alexander Dennis have updated their single-decker electric buses. They've added a heat pump, which you might well find in your road-going EV, to decrease the energy consumption in winter and optimise the layout, using their expertise in bus design to optimise vehicle layouts. The partnership is upgrading the Enviro 200 buses, and these are the single-deckers utilising the new heating system. The heat pump has been developed to transfer atmospheric heat into the vehicle when it's cold outside, running efficiently in very low ambient temperatures. It can also be used in reverse to cool the vehicle in warmer weather, which we don't get too much of. If it's all about keeping warm, yeah, we can give you plenty of cold weather in this country, not too much warm weather. Fantastic news. You get more range from those buses as well. And great news. Let's get more EV buses at as many places as possible. Finally, I'm going to leave you with a long clip of audio at the end of the show today. Greta Thunberg has excoriated world leaders for their betrayal of young people through their inertia over the climate crisis at the United Nations, at a summit that ultimately failed to deliver ambitious new commitments to address the problem with climate change and dangerous global heating, writes The Guardian in a stinging speech yesterday on Monday. Greta, the teenage Swedish climate activist, told the governments that were listening, "You are still not mature enough to tell it like it is. You are failing us. But the young people are starting to understand your betrayal." They are strong words, and I would personally love you to listen to the whole 4 minutes. It's moving. It's emotional. It'll make you think. If you haven't heard it yet, I'm going to stitch it onto the end of this podcast. It's Greta speaking at the UN yesterday. By no means do you have to listen to it, but if you're thinking, well, he's wrapping up and there's still a few minutes of the podcast to go, that's why. I'm going to put the audio on the very end, and I would love you to listen to it and maybe share your thoughts with me, as you always can, along with question of the week this week. I'm asking you what you want to hear about on this podcast. What kind of cars do you want me to talk about, following a listener email saying, please don't talk about cars that have engines, even if they are plug-ins after all. But what do you think? I'll put it to the vote. I'll put it to the listeners, because this is your show. Should I be talking about hybrids, plug-ins, other vehicles, bikes, scooters, planes and boats, buses? Let me know. And you can email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. On Facebook and YouTube, comments as well. Thank you to those on Patreon who support the show. You can check out patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, our premium partner. Brad Crosby, our premium partner. And Avid Technology, who will be back on with Ryan very soon. There are 589 previous shows. This is show 590. We're 10 away from knocking on 600. Wow, how's that happened? And you can get the new podcasts first and free and automatically by hitting subscribe on your podcast apps. Come and hang out on the socials in the meantime by searching for the phrase EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear. How dare you continue to look away and come here saying that you're doing enough when the politics and solutions needed are still nowhere in sight? You say you hear us and that you understand the urgency. But no matter how sad and angry I am, I do not want to believe that. Because if you really understood the situation and still kept on failing to act, then you would be evil, and that I refuse to believe. The popular idea of cutting our emissions in half in 10 years only gives us a 50% chance of staying below 1.5 degrees and the risk of setting off irreversible chain reactions beyond human control. 50% may be acceptable to you, but those numbers do not include tipping points, most feedback loops, additional warming hidden by toxic air pollution, or the aspects of equity and climate justice. They also rely on my generation sucking hundreds of billions of tons of your CO2 out of the air with technologies that barely exist. So a 50% risk is simply not acceptable to us, we who have to live with the consequences. To have a 67% chance of staying below a 1.5 degrees of global temperature rise, the best odds given by the IPCC, the world had 420 gigatons of CO2 left to emit back on January 1st, 2018. Today, that figure is already down to less than 350 gigatons. How dare you pretend that this can be solved with just business as usual and some technical solutions? With today's emissions levels, that remaining CO2 budget will be entirely gone within less than 8.5 years. There will not be any solutions or plans presented in line with these figures here today, because these numbers are too uncomfortable and you are still not mature enough to tell it like it is. You are failing us, but the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you. We will not let you get away with this. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line. The world is waking up, and change is coming, whether you like it or not. Thank you.